Stay tuned for Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.
And from Romans chapter 8. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. The word of the Lord. As I prepared my message for you today, I was interested to see what other Christians have had to say about Romans chapter 8. I'm a big fan of Martin Luther. And Martin Luther described Romans as the chief part of the New Testament and the perfect gospel. The English poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge said that Romans is the most profound work in existence. And John Calvin said, if a person understands Romans, they have a sure road open to understand the whole Bible. Now, other Christians have described Romans as the constitution of Christianity. And each one of these descriptions is accurate. If you've not read Romans in a while, I want to encourage you to read it this week. I was surprised to learn that one of the great early church fathers, John Chrysostom, had Romans read to him once a week, every day of his life, as an older man. And so let me encourage you to dive into this glorious letter, and I want to compare it today to this church. Now, we have a beautiful church building here at First Presbyterian, but if you go outside, you'll see that steeple. And I like to think of Paul's letter to the Romans as the cathedral, or as the beautiful building. And Romans chapter 8 is like the steeple on this beautiful building. For here in the 8th chapter of Romans, we learn about some of the great and lofty truths of the Christian faith, great Bible teachings about sovereignty of God, predestination, justification, and so forth. And so this morning we're going to look at just one verse, just one roof tile from the steeple that is Romans chapter 8. Look again at verse 28. And while your eyes are going there, and thank you, Therese, for that wonderful description, I thought about borrowing that bridle. I'd love to borrow that and use it today. But let me say a word about context. Before you read verse 28, the Apostle Paul had spent a great amount of pen and paper, if you will, talking about the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit who helps us pray. It is the Holy Spirit who helps us know some things, Paul says. And here in verse 28, one of the things the indwelling Holy Spirit helps you and me to know is this. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who are the called according to His purpose. My friend, that's the best news you're going to hear today. That all things in your life are being worked by God for His glory and your good. Now let's unpack this a little bit. You see, the Christian faith is a faith of certainty, not speculation. We know things because God has made Himself known. God has revealed His ways to us. And the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us has confirmed certain things to us. Now, I became a Christian at the age of 24. I was saved by God's grace. And I knew when I got up off the floor after praying to the Lord to forgive me, I knew that I knew that I knew that my sins were forgiven, that I was bound for heaven, that I had fullness of life here and now. How did I know that? Because of the Holy Spirit who came to take up residence in my life. And when we become a Christian, The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, and He is working inside of us to make some things known and to confirm some things to us. And you know, as Paul knew, that all things work for good in your life. The Christian faith is a faith of certainty, and we know because God has made Himself known. Now, what else does Paul say? Here we go. We know that God is working all things, say with me, all things for our good. I want you to underline the word all, underscore it, highlight whatever you need to do, because that means all things, good, bad, and otherwise, God's taking it all. Now, I lived in New Orleans for a while, and we had gumbo, and God is taking it all and putting it into this pot of gumbo and somehow mixing it and stirring it and using it for good in your life and mine. This past week, Sarah and I received an email from Rebecca Devakumar. You remember, Paul was here last Sunday talking about what God is doing in India and how the gospel is going forth. Not all of you know that Rebecca, his wife, is facing dialysis 3 times a week. Now, in India, they don't have what we have here. We have what's called a port. You know, they'll put the port in so you don't have to be stuck every time you go in to have your kidneys cleaned. And she has to, because she has no port, they have to stick her every time 3 days a week as she undergoes dialysis. Now, why do I share that with you? Because in her email, she said, after telling us this, she said her faith and conviction are so strong, and she's holding on to Romans 8:28. She knows that in all things, even dialysis, even being stuck 3 times a week, all things are working for good in her life because God is at work in her life. And it's true, not just the good and pleasant things, but the unpleasant things in your life, God is somehow taking them and using them for your good. You know that Jesus himself went through hard times? In the Bible, the Gospels were told that he was driven into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and he didn't eat. I go and miss a meal, and I get a little grouchy and upset. My kids miss a meal or two, and look out. I don't know about y'all, but Jesus went for 40 long days and nights without food. He experienced hardship, but God, his Father, was up to something in the life of Jesus. And that desert experience was being worked for good in the life of our Lord. For those who belong to God, there is purpose in the pain and in the hardship. As a young man, I learned these words from a poet by the name of William Blake. He said, "Joy and woe are woven fine, a clothing for the soul divine. Under every grief and pine runs a joy with silken twine. It is right, it should be so. Man was made for joy and woe. And when this we rightly know, through the world we safely go." Amen to that. I think we would all agree that joy and woe are part of every life. How many of you here have experienced some hardship in the last month or two? I suspect most of us in our lives or in somebody we know, a family member. Do you remember Joseph in the Bible? Joseph was an interesting case study, and is. In a jealous rage, his brothers threw him into a pit, and they later sold him into slavery. That's brotherly love. And later still, they cast him into prison. Joseph was cast into prison, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery by his brothers. And yet, it all worked for his good. Joseph became the second highest official in Pharaoh's kingdom. And listen to what Joseph said to his brothers. In Genesis 50, verse 20, "You all intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." You see, God intended all that hardship in Joseph's life for good. And what about Job? Job lost everything he had, his family, his possessions, his health. He suffered from boils and ulcers, the Bible says, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, and yet God worked it all for Job's good. he was given back twice as much as he had before. The Bible is full of such examples. Do you remember Daniel in the lion's den? Jonah in the belly of the great fish? God worked it all for good in the lives of his people. Did you pay attention to what Eleanor read from Psalm 119? David of old said, "It was good for me to be afflicted." Now, when's the last time we said that? You went through a hard time, you got a bad report from the doctor. Oh, thank you, Lord. David said, "It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn God's decrees." Wow. That is an amazing declaration from a mature believer. Now, David could have had his pity party. He could have complained, and he did in a lot of his psalms. But here, he recognized that God was up to something in his life and in the hardships of his life. And what we need to realize is that when the Bible says, in all things, God works for good in the lives of his people, that means exactly what it says. The best things in your life and the worst things in your life are somehow being worked for your good by a sovereign and loving Lord. But please note that the promise of Romans 8:28 is not for the world in general. It is for Christians in particular. I remember reading some words by Edward Wilson, who was an explorer to Antarctica. Do you know we have a fella here in the church who's been to Antarctica? I didn't know till a couple weeks ago. We've got at least one person here who's been to the South Pole. Well, Edward Wilson, who's not a member of this church, he was a Christian, and he once said, "This I know, that pain and trouble and trials and sorrows and disappointments are either one thing or another. To those who love God, they are love tokens from God. But to all who do not love God and do not want to love God, they are merely a nuisance." Hear what he said? The troubles in life are love tokens from God. Now, the person who's spiritually dead to the things of God does not see God at work in their life. But God's people see with new vision. We who were once spiritually dead now see with new eyes, and we can recognize and know that God is up to something in the hardships of life. So, my friend, I want to encourage you today to start recognizing those love tokens from the Lord that have been sent into your life. I really like the words of a great man of God from an earlier time named Thomas Watson. He wisely said this: "As the painter mixes bright colors with dark shadows, so the wise God mixes mercy with judgment. These afflictive providences, which seem to be prejudicial, are beneficial. God's rod is a pencil to draw the image of Christ more lively upon us." That's some mature theology. That is some profound truth. And if you get nothing else today, I hope you get that. Call them what you will, love tokens or afflictive providences, it is important to recognize that God is up to something in your life. He's taking the good, the bad, and everything and somehow working it for your good and his glory. How many of you remember Corrie Ten Boom, great woman of God? Yeah, a lot of us here. Corrie Ten Boom lived during the Second World War, and she, along with many members of her family, were thrown in a Nazi concentration camp. There her sister Betsy died, her father died, and she experienced great hardship. And when they got into those barracks where the prisoners were detained, they noticed there were fleas, and there were lice, and it was dirty. It was horrible. But in the midst of that depredation, the guards would not go into the barracks because of the fleas and the lice. And Corrie Ten Boom was able to have Bible studies, and she was able to lead many people to faith in Christ. You see, God works all things for good, even fleas and lice and bedbugs. God can somehow weave all that together for good in the lives of his children. And we thank him for that. I wonder if you are going through a difficult season in your life. Maybe so, maybe not. But this I do know, that God really is working everything in the lives of His people for good. Whether you're on a mountaintop or in a valley, God is there, and He has promised that He is working on that mountaintop and in that valley. Now, I know some Christians who, when they go through hard times, the first thing they want to do is cast out the devil. Oh, go away, Satan. I cast you out in the name of Jesus. And I don't know about that. There may be a time and a place when we need to take authority over that kind of stuff. But what we need to realize is that not all difficult seasons in a Christian life come from the devil. Sometimes they're of our own making. And sometimes, very often, God is right there in the midst of them. Now, I mentioned Jesus a little while ago in the desert. If you read Mark's gospel, you read something really interesting. Only Mark tells us this. Mark says in his gospel that before Jesus was driven out into the wilderness, it was the Holy Spirit who did the driving. The Spirit of God drove Jesus into the wilderness. The Spirit did that to the Son of God. Remember what David said in our Psalm 119, it was good for me to be afflicted. Now please don't get me wrong. I also recognize that there are some things in life that are of our own making, for a man reaps what he sows. If what you're dealing with in your life, the hardship you're going through, is a result of sin or poor decisions, of course you're going to want to deal with it head on. You're going to want to move forward with God's grace, but know that even in this, God is at work. And there is a devil, we know, and he has forces at work. The devil seeks to steal and kill and destroy. We read that in John 10, verse 10. But the Bible also says that God, and listen now, God disciplines those whom he loves. Hebrews 12, verse 6, God disciplines those whom he loves. The New Testament word for discipline is the word from which we get our English word, pedagogy, or instruction, or education. God educates, disciplines those whom he loves. How many of you grew up in a household where you had a parent? In my case, it was an old army colonel, old school all the way, who disciplined, and it wasn't pleasant at the time. But I can tell you now, years later, looking back and growing up in an army household under a strict army colonel, thank you, Lord, for that discipline. It wasn't often pleasant. At times, it was painful on my backside. But I thank God now for a loving father who disciplined the one he loved. And God disciplines those whom he loved. I want to encourage you today to look for those love tokens, to look for those afflictive providences that God has allowed into your life and in some cases has even sent into your life. They are not there by accident. There is a purpose in them. If you love God, if you are called according to his purpose, and you belong to him through Jesus Christ, you can rest assured that God has a plan for your life, and God is at work in the hardships of your life. And before I close, I want you to notice something about Romans 8:28. Not only is it linked to the Holy Spirit in the verses before, but notice where Paul goes with this thought. In verses 29, he speaks of God's sovereign plan. You see, God knew all about you. God knew about every hardship you're facing in life, even before you were born. Notice what Paul says. Our passage speaks of foreknowledge and predestination. There's that word. And justification and glorification. You know, so many people are uncomfortable with the biblical teaching of predestination. And they want it to mean something other than what the Bible says it means. But in Scripture, predestination means what it says. To destine beforehand. The idea is God choosing or God marking out in advance. Before you chose the Lord chose you. Election and predestination refer to the same thing, God's sovereign choice. God's election of you was not based on you first selecting him. your selection was based on his election. And so many people want to turn that on its head and make it say what they want it to say. What's the point of all that? Paul the Apostle is saying that the sovereign Lord, who knew all about you before time even existed, who foreknew you, who marked you out, who called you by his Spirit, who declared you righteous, who has glorified his people, God knew everything, good, bad, and otherwise. And so you can rest assured that the sovereign God who knows everything about your life is using it all for your good. And those whom God predestined, he also called and justified and glorified. Sometimes that's called the golden chain of redemption. And my fellow believer in Christ, the point is this. Whether you face good times or bad times, sickness or health, God is at work right there. Somehow, some way, the Lord is weaving it all and mixing it all together to fulfill his sovereign plan, and it is for your good. As a Christian, you can build your life on these words. For we know that in all things, God works for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. My friend, that is the best news you will hear today. And to that, would you say, amen? Let's pray to the Lord. Father, we are confident and we know that God-given promises will meet every need in life. And we thank you for the glorious promise of Romans 8:28, that somehow, some way, you are working all things together for our good. And we thank you, God, you knew all about us long, long before we even came upon this earth, before we were born. Thank you for your sovereign plan. And thank you, God, that you are weaving it all together for your glory and our good. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
I'm a doubter of your grace, and my heart won't cease. I'm a doubter of your grace, and my heart won't cease. Seeking love in every place, but your perfect arms of peace. Though I see that all my longings find their journeys end in you, off they wander in the byways, cheaply lured by every all our hearts long for, we find in you, O Lord. Help us want you more than idols we adore. Give us eyes to see your matchless beauty. Shatter unbelief, come and make us free.
I'm a slave to lowly thoughts that I cannot shake. Lust of eyes and pride of life, hardened heart that stone of heart of flesh, often bitter sterns cracked and poor. All our hearts long for, we find in you, O Lord. Help us want you more than idols we adore. Give us eyes to see your matchless beauty. Shatter unbelief. Come and make us free. And all our hearts long for, we find in you, O Lord. Help us want you more than idols we adore. Give us eyes to see your matchless beauty. Shatter unbelief. Come and make us free. Shatter unbelief. Come and make us free.
You have been listening to Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.